بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم ووالاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين بعد. Respected علماء الكرام, respected elders and brothers, it feels like just a day or two we were ushering in and we were welcoming the month of Ramadan, and just like that, in a flash, in the blink of an eye, here we find ourselves already in the middle part of the month of Ramadan. And generally what we find is that some people have referred to this middle part of Ramadan as the graveyard shift. Generally at the beginning of Ramadan, there is that enthusiasm, there is the excitement, there is the hype with the beginning of Ramadan. And then we come at the end of Ramadan, the business end of the month of Ramadan, the big nights, the odd night in the month of Ramadan. But generally during this middle period of Ramadan, the initial excitement is over and there's nothing more, nothing much for us to be looking forward to. So generally many of us become a bit slack, a bit lazy during this middle part of Ramadan. But this is definitely not a time for us to be letting our feet off the pedal. Rather, by now, after the first part of Ramadan is over, by now our engine should have been warmed up and we should be slipping up a gear or two, and now we should be racing towards the last part of the month of Ramadan and the forgiveness and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a time, my dear brothers, for us to be increasing our acts of devotion, our ibadat, our nafil salah, our tilawat of Quran, our dhikr, our tawbah, istighfar, and very importantly, my dear brothers, and this is what I wish to talk about today, we should be increasing our dua before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should be putting our needs before Him, our wants before Him, putting our problems before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get our problems solved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala is Malikul Muluk, Allah ta'ala is the King of all kings. Nothing is impossible in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The biggest need, the biggest problem, the biggest issue that worries us is something very, very easy, something very, very simple for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to resolve. The biggest need of insan, the biggest want of human being is very, very small and easy in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fulfill. The Hadith Sharif says, Hadith Qudsi, Allah ta'ala says, Ya Ibadi, Allah addresses you and I, Allah says, oh my slaves. For a human being to be regarded as slave of another human being, this is a disgrace for the person. But for us to be called by Allah Ta'ala as his banda, his slave, this is a thing of honor. Allah says, oh my banda, oh my slaves, if every single human being, from the first person right until the last person to be born, these billions, if not trillions of people have to stand on one plane, on one land, on one ground, and each one of them has to ask of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatever he wants. He asks until he can ask no more of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, I will give and answer the dua of every single person. Give every single person whatever he wants, and this will not diminish in my treasures except like the amount of a water that remains in the eye of a needle when a person has to dip that needle into the ocean. The oceans are like the treasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single human being begging of Allah will only diminish to the amount of water that remains in the eye of a needle. Ulama say this too is only for our understanding. Allah wants to show something very small. But in reality, this amount of asking will not even diminish, at least at all, the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers, the biggest need of insan, if we ask of Allah ta'ala, this is nothing for Allah ta'ala to accept. Dua, my dear brothers, is a very, very powerful act of worship and is a very, very unique act of worship. Why is it very powerful? Because we know we have such a thing called qadr, taqdeer, a destiny of a person, the preordination of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every person will live by his destiny that Allah ta'ala has preordained, and every person will die by his taqdeer. But the Hadith Sharif tells us, Ud'u Allah fa inna dua yaruddu al-qada. Continue making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if there is one thing that is powerful enough to alter the destiny of a person, that one thing and that single thing is dua. So dua is something that is very, very powerful. And dua is something that is very, very unique. Why is it very unique? Because when it comes to the other acts of worship, be it our salah, our fasting, our zakah, our hajj, these are acts of worship that have certain prerequisites. A person wants to perform salah, he has to ensure it's the correct time for salah, he has to ensure the place he's reading salah is pure, his body is pure, he has wudu, he's parked, the rest of it. But when it comes to dua, at any moment, at any time, a person is able to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why dua is something that is very, very unique. In one hadith sharif, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called dua mukhul ibadah. Dua is the essence of ibadah. And in one hadith, he said, ad-dua huwa al-ibadah. Dua, this is true ibadah. And a question may come to one's mind that salah is ibadah, zakat, fulfilling our zakat is ibadat, umran, hajj is ibadat, tilawat, quran is ibadat. Why did Nabi Sallam single out dua and say dua, this is the essence, and this is true ibadat? Because my dear, the purpose of ibadat is to express our servitude, our bandagi, our abdiya before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whilst this is found in all acts of ibadat, when it comes to dua, when a person humbles himself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, raises his hand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala, you have and I need. Allah ta'ala, you give and I want. A person expresses totally humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, concedes and accepts that Allah ta'ala is the only one who can sort out his problems, Allah is the only one who can fulfill his needs. The person is expressing the highest level. He is displaying the highest level of servitude. That is why the Hadith Sharif says, dua is mukhul ibadah, is the essence of ibadah. The Hadith Sharif tells us, laysa shay'un akrama 'ala Allah min ad-du'a, that there is nothing more honored in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person making dua is humbling himself. He's making himself small, he's humbling himself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's humbling himself, but in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this person is doing a very, very noble, this person is very, very honorable, because he is expressing his servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my dear brothers, today I wish many of us in our lives, we have heard that we have to make dua, cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything in life has a method, it has a way of doing it. Likewise, my dear brother, there is a way of making dua. There are steps that we should be taking, and we should be things to be doing when we are making dua. At the end of the day, whose dua Allah accepts and whose dua Allah rejects, that is not our job. But we have to try to do those things that will get our dua accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in a short while, my dear brother, I wish to share with you some pertinent, important points that we should bear in mind, some adab, some etiquettes that we should bear in mind at the time of making dua. Firstly, my dear brothers, when we are making dua, preferably the person should be in a state of wudu. A person should try to be alone, sit in one corner, sit by himself, be in seclusion while making dua. And then when a person sits down to make dua, my dear brothers, he should raise his hands. Ulama mentioned, the books of fiqh mentioned, a person should raise his hands up to his chest. Not too high or not too low, but raise his hands up to his chest. And they mentioned that when it comes to salah, the qibla for salah is baytullah. But the qibla for our dua are the skies. So when we're making dua, our hands should be raised up to our chest and our palms should be facing towards the sky. And there should be a slight gap. There should be a slight gap between our hands. Not too far apart, but rather a very, very slight gap there should be between our hands. And when we make dua, my dear brothers, when we start off making dua, many of us make this mistake. I'm not saying that it's wrong, but many of us start off by just making dua. Or we start off by making durood sharif, reciting salawat first. Rather, the hadith sharif tells us that when we start making dua, first praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then make durood salawat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then make dua. On occasion, a person came to the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he performed salah. And then after salah, he got straight into dua, Allahumma khfirli walhamni. He just went into his dua, Allah forgive me, Allah have mercy upon me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, O person making dua, you are being hasty. When you are making dua, first recite durood, first praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, hamdan kathiran, tayyiban, mubarakan fi.
then send salutations upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's one occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happened to be passing by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and he heard him making dua. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhum first praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he recited salutations upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi, when he heard him doing, he said, now sal tu'ta, sal tu'ta. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, you have fulfilled the etiquette of dua. First praising Allah, and then sending salutation upon me. Now ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all your needs, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer your du'as. So when we commence our du'a, first start by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then reciting salutation upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then making du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should make du'a for ourselves first, before we make du'a for our parents, for our spouses, for our children, and for the ummah. To show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala, before everyone else, I am the most needy. I need the most. And my dear brothers, when we sit down to make dua, we should make dua with full conviction, with full certitude, with full yaqeen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept my dua. We should have no doubt about this in our mind. Full yaqeen, full conviction, full certitude that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept my dua. One of the ayat of the Quran Sharif that give us the most hope, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah ta'ala says, Allah Rabbul Izzah says, O my banda, make dua to me. You ask me and I will give you. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. Human beings, a person asks a person for accept, may help him out. Ask him a second time, he may help him out. Ask him a third time and the person will become upset. Ask a human being, ask insan and they become upset. Ask Allah, don't ask Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala becomes upset. So make dua with full conviction. The Hadith Sharif says, "Ud'u Allah wa antum muqinoon bil ijaba." Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst you have full conviction, Allah Ta'ala will accept your dua. The Hadith Sharif says, "Inna Allah hayyun satirun." Allah is bashful. Allah is shy. Allah feels very shy that when a banda, when a servant, he raises his hands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah feels shy that that person's hands are put down without Allah ta'ala accepting the dua of that person. So make dua with full conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my dear brothers, many of us sometimes we feel that I am a sinner. I am living a wayward life. Where will Allah ta'ala ever accept my dua? And the person does not even have the courage, and he doesn't even want to make dua, because he thinks of his sinful life, his weaknesses, Allah ta'ala will not accept his dua. Whereas Sufyan bin Uyayna rahimullah, a great faqih, a great jurist, and muhaddith of this ummah said, he said a very, very remarkable thing. He says, the shortcomings in your life that you know about, the sins in your life that you know about, your weaknesses should not stop you from making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah ta'ala accepted the dua of the most despicable of his creation. So when shaitan was banished from Jannah, at the time when he was banished, he made dua to Allah ta'ala, Rabbi anzirni ila yawmi ba'athun. Allah ta'ala, give me respite until the day of Qiyamah. Allah accepted the dua of the most wicked of his creation. You and I will have iman in our heart, my dear brothers. Allah Ta'ala, despite our weaknesses, Allah Ta'ala will still answer our du'as. So go on making du'a before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with full conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many times we feel that I'm making du'a, and Allah Ta'ala is not accepting my du'a. The Hadith Sharif says, the du'a of every one of you will definitely be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one way or the other, as long as you are not hasty. Sahabas, O Nabi of Allah, what is the ijal? O Nabi of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hastiness you're talking, what is it? Allah's Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, is where a person says, I'm making dua, my dua is not yet getting accepted, so a person then leaves out dua. Rather, you're making dua, you feel your dua is not accepted, go on making dua. The day will come, and many of us have perhaps experienced this in our lives. We made dua many, many times. And sometimes without even realizing, we come to a point in life where we realize now that this is the acceptance of the dua that I have been making for so many years before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So go on making dua with full conviction, certitude, yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will definitely in some way or the other accept our dua. That's the one thing, my dear brothers. The next thing, my dear brothers, when we make dua, we have to put our heart, our bodies, our minds, and our souls behind that dua, like a beggar. And my dear brothers, there are many lessons we can take from a beggar when it comes to the issue of dua. And every day, my dear brothers, ya ayyuhan nas antumul fuqara ila Allah. Are we nothing but beggars before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah is ghani. Allah is the one who has everything. And we are beggars before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A beggar many times may happen to us. A person is at our window at the car. And the person asks us once. And we turn him down. And then the person walks away. He does not ask again. He walks away. He's not interested. Perhaps it was a parking attendant who saw somebody else who he could have got something from. So he leaves you and he goes to the next person. Likewise, my dear brothers, when we are making dua, we should be interested, and we should put our body, heart, mind, and soul before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the beggar who comes and asks. The first time he asks, we reject him. Second time he asks, we reject him. And then he begs, and he begins to, for the sake of Allah ta'ala, give me something. Then the person, sometimes his heart softens up, and now he gives that person something. Likewise, we're making dua, put our heart, our body, our mind, and our soul behind the dua. Cry before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Hadith Sharif says, Allah does not accept the dua from that heart that is oblivious, that heart that is unmindful, that heart that is not in the dua. Allah does not accept the dua of that person. And my dear brothers, unfortunately, we do not understand Arabic. Most of us do not understand Arabic. So many times, instead of us making dua, we are reading duas. We have our kitab for which we read dua, and we South Africans are quite famous for this year, just reading dua, just reading Arabic duas, which we do not understand. Yes, the duas mentioned in Quran, the duas mentioned in Hadith are very, very powerful. We have to read these duas. But added to that, my dear brothers, also try to make dua in our own language, in our own language. In this way, there'll be more feeling in the dua. One of our ustads mentioned to us that one person was going for Umrah, going for Hajj. So he went to a pious person. And he told him that, I'm going for Umrah, I'm going for Hajj. I'm going there, kya parna hai? When I go there, what must I read? So this pious person responded, ye parne ki jagah nahi, ye mangne ki jagah hai. When you are going to the house of Allah, likewise in our case, in the month of Ramadan, out the month of Ramadan, it's not the time to read. Rather, we have to beg of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we are making dua, put our heart, our body, our mind, our soul behind that dua. And my dear brothers, when we are making dua, we have to try to seek out the moments of acceptance. Look for the moments of acceptance. Like how we have a beggar, my dear brothers. You find beggars everywhere all the time. But on the day of Eid, you find that the beggars are lining up the streets that lead to the Eidgah. Because they now feel this is a greater opportunity for us to get something from someone. Likewise, Allah Ta'ala has given us special moments. Allah has given us special places where Allah Ta'ala is more ready to accept our du'as. Like Allah has given us this golden opportunity in the month of Ramadan. Ramadan from the beginning right till the end is a golden opportunity for us to get our du'as accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Hadith Sharif says there are three people whose du'as are never ever rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amongst the three people, one person is that person who is fasting. Likewise, at the time iftar, my dear, a very, very blessed time, a very, very mubarak time, a very, very great opportunity to get our du'as accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The early part of the morning, the tahajjud time, in the month of Ramadan, out of the month of Ramadan, this is a time to get our du'as accepted. Al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, Ya Rasulullah, ayyud du'a asma, which du'a is most readily accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jawful layl al-akhir, at the dead of the night, at tahajjud time, that is the du'a that is heard the quickest by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then one of our salaf said, that du'a made at tahajjud time is an arrow that never ever misses its target. And one of the ulama said, that if a person has a need, and still he is not prepared to wake up at tahajjud time to ask for his need, that means he doesn't really need it. A person has a need and is still not prepared to wake up in the early part of the morning to ask Allah to fulfill his need, that means he doesn't really need it. So my dear brothers, these are, we should be looking for the opportunities to get our du'as accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One pious person said that in his experience, in his life, he found something very afflictive to get his du'as accepted, is that when he had the urge to commit a sin, we had the desire to commit a sin, at that time he would address himself and he would say, for the sake of Allah, I'm not going to commit the sin. For the sake of Allah, I'm not going to commit the sin. And then he will restrain himself. And thereafter, he'll make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on many occasions, he found his dua to be accepted very, very quickly. Because when a person restrains his desires and restrains his carnal passions for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this person becomes very beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala very quickly accepts the du'as of that person. Likewise, my dear brothers, when we are making dua, we have to put our weaknesses before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Show Allah ta'ala our humility. Show Allah ta'ala our humbleness. Put our humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Quran Sharif, Allah ta'ala speaks about the story of Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wa salam. We know that Nabi Zakariya alayhi salatu wa salam had made dua to Allah ta'ala for many, many, many years. And Allah ta'ala, in his wisdom, Allah had not accepted the dua of Zakariya alayhi salatu wa salam to have his son. But then in Quran Sharif, Allah ta'ala speaks of the moment of acceptance of dua, of the dua of Zakariya alayhi salatu wa salam. Allah tells us the words used by Zakariya alayhi salatu wa salam. Absolute humility. رَبِّ إِنِّي وَهَنَ الْعَبُ مِنِّي وَاشْتَعَلَ رَأْسُ شَيْبًا وَلَمَكُمْ بِدُعَائِكَ رَبِّ شَقِيًّا. He said, Wallah, Wallah, I've become weak. Wallah, I've become old. Ya Allah, my bones have become weak. Allah, my hair has turned grey. Allah, you have always been there for me. You have never let me down. Oh Allah, accept my dua. Nabi alayhi salatu went to Taif. And he was pelted by the ruffians of Taif. And he takes refuge in that garden. What are the first words of the dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Oh Allah ta'ala, to you I complained of my weakness. And Allah ta'ala, to you do I complain of the lack of my planning. Allah ta'ala, to you I complain that people look down upon me. So when we make dua, express, verbally express our humbleness, our humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, I am your weak slave. Allah ta'ala, I am your sinful slave. Confess and open up to Allah ta'ala. Talk to Allah ta'ala. I am your weak slave. I am your sinful slave. Allah, from all of your creation, I am the most needy. I am the weakest. Put our weakness before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lastly, my dear brothers, if we want our du'as to be accepted, my dear brothers, we have to ensure that what we eat and what we earn is totally halal. Not haram, not even doubtful, but totally halal. Haram wealth has caused a lot of problems in the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's become destructive to the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one of the greatest destructions brought about by haram wealth is that it causes our du'as to be rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallam mentioned in a hadith, a very, very profound hadith, a lengthy hadith, I only speak of one part about it. Nabi sallam mentioned you have a person who's traveling. We know that he mentioned in the hadith sharif, a musafir, his du'as are quickly accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this person is a musafir. Ash'atha aghbar. The person is disheveled. His hair is untidy. He's covered in dust because of traveling. He's in a very pathetic, very pitiable state. Normally a person being a musafir, a person being in a pathetic state. These are reasons for a person's du'a to be accepted. The person raises his hand, Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. He implores Allah Ta'ala. He cries before Allah Ta'ala with everything on his side to get his dua accepted. But one major problem. وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ وَخُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامِ. This person's food is haram. His drink is haram. His clothing is from haram sources. Head to toe, this person has been nourished by haram. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. Although having every reason for his dua to be accepted, but because of the haram in the life of the person, أَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. How can this person's dua ever be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So my dear brothers, we have to ensure that we only partake and only earn that is halal to get our du'as accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to make a lot of du'a before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Put all our needs before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to accept from us all our du'as. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.